ignition sequence start. The engines are on. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversation with church leaders about social media, web trends, and anything else our host wants to talk about. Neil Smith is the Vice President of Social Media and Innovation at Denham & Company, lives in Texas, loves the Spurs, and exploring the world with his family. Jay Cranda is the online pastor at Saddleback Church, lives in California, loves the Lakers and drinking black cold brew coffee, and once could do a heel flip. To engage with the show, use the hashtag SMC Podcast. Let's join the show.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith, and I'm joined by my good friend Jay Cranda. Jay, I'm excited about this podcast.
Dude, so we always record typically like morning for me, afternoon for you, and but we're doing like a late night recording here, which is, I kind of like the vibe, but I will say I'm representing some coffee. I'm still drinking coffee late. I just freshly brewed this little slow brew.
Okay, I got a question about cold brew. So I don't know anything about coffee in New York. It was very popular, and like I remember I went to one coffee place and like, can I just get hot coffee? Like, no, we only do cold brew. So does that mean you like literally brew it cold? Because all I know is you put it coffee in the coffee pot, and then the heat is like part of what makes it work. Yeah. So what is cold? How does cold brew? What does that even mean?
So there's a couple different ways. The most popular is a toddy, I would say. And essentially what a toddy is you kind of steep your coffee. So you put a bunch of grounds into like a bucket almost, and then you pour your coffee in there. And then the idea is that you steep it. You kind of slowly, kind of like a tea bag, but the idea is that it stays in there. And so you keep it there for like 12 hours, 12 to 24 hours. And so like, I think Starbucks, their cold brew, they do 20 hours. And so the idea just soaks up everything. And so it's never hot. It's that. And then you have like drip methods. And there's a couple different drip methods. And the idea is you use like a big, just think big, thick blocks of coffee. And then it slowly drips through. And the idea is that it goes, it collects as it goes through like the filter of coffee. And so there's like special, like there's like really intense ones that special coffee. You go there and they'll have like the twisty like chemistry sets. And that's a drip method. And usually that's like I think there's like a Japanese Komodo, some weird, like I'm saying that wrong, but there's some weird. So, but it's just essentially cold coffee. It just usually takes longer to make and it's never hot. And the idea is that there's supposed to be a richer amount of flavors or certain coffees. I'm not that. That's like an Alec Todd from North Street Church. Like he could get in, he's a coffee guy and he has his indie roasters. I just like it because I'm always Southern California and hot and I like cold coffee because I need to cool down my body. But yeah, there was some great. I went to a great one in Brooklyn. Okay. I'm forgetting the name of it.
It was popular everywhere in Brooklyn. Everybody was all about the cold brew. It tasted good. I don't know the difference. So I was curious. Okay, let's jump in a few things. One, I want to congratulate our friend Sean Cannell. Just hit 50,000 subscribers. Boom. On video influencers on YouTube. If you don't watch his YouTube channel, everyone needs to be learning how to do video better. Everybody needs to learn how to do YouTube better. Pay attention to Sean. He's the expert in video in YouTube specifically. So go check that out. So I had a question, Jay, and we're going to talk, as we get into the show, we're going to talk about Twitter and this new thing with Twitter live streaming football games, which is very interesting. But I had a question from a ministry this week that said, we're thinking about shutting down our website. And this is not a big ministry, a smaller ministry that really doesn't have a whole lot of support. So they're really thinking simplicity here. But what they see is that they're getting, you know, maybe a dozen views a day on their website, but they're getting 1,000 views a day for their posts on Facebook. Should they just forward their domain to their Facebook page and just say, this is where our ministry lives? You want communication, you want information, you want stuff about our ministry, just go to our Facebook page and this domain can point there. What would you recommend to that ministry?
That's kind of just a funny, it's a crazy idea to think that's where we're at, that stuff is being talked about.
Yep.
It's two answers. I would say if you're in startup phase and you haven't gotten a website up, I would say yes. I said buy the domain, do it. I personally don't. I think the beauty of a website is that it still is your home base with with getting people on an email list, with really presenting who you are. The problem with a Facebook page is most of the people who are viewing your content, 95% or 90%, are viewing it in the stream. They're not seeing it within context of who you are. They're just watching the moment. And so they're not really, very few people are looking at your about section on your Facebook page and all that stuff. Most of it is that. So like, I still think there's a beauty of, hey, go to my website. I do think it should drive website design very specifically. So it's, you know, it's not going to be where you're social. It's not going to be where maybe you host content. Video content. Maybe all that is housed on YouTube and other things. But I still think there is a value to being able to design something in such a way for your persona, your audience. So I think if I was going out and starting a business tomorrow somewhere and I was like, okay, I don't have time to set up a Squarespace account and do my own website and all that stuff. Yeah. Maybe I just buy my URL and I forward it to my Twitter account or to my Instagram page or whatever. I think that's okay. But eventually I think you should have somewhat of a polished website. That would be my answer.
Yeah.
You?
Here's going to be my advice is let's move to, because I think the challenge with the website is maintaining it and updating and those kind of things. Let's move to a landing page that's very simple, that's very focused on, hey, you want news and information and updates, go to make sure you're connected to our Facebook page. Yes. And sign up here for our email address. I think you're exactly right though. It's, to me, it's still about that email capture. And so it's a very basic page, one page, you know, landing page that's really about an email capture and, you know, stay connected to us on our Facebook page. So it's about email and Facebook. My recommendation is not going to be to just forge your URL to your Facebook page. It is going to be though to simplify your website to a one page landing page and then drive traffic to both the email list and to the Facebook page from that landing page.
I saw actually, so I watched the show, we've talked about it in the past, the show The Profit,
yep.
P-R-O-F-I-T, the guy turns businesses kind of, and he talks about like people, process, product, kind of the idea. Anyways, the last episode he was talking to this Southern California watch company, and part of the process, these people had these products that evolved and they lost their identity. They actually went to, and they had he consulted with a CEO of ClickFunnels.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, and so they actually did this whole thing. It was really cool. So if you guys aren't watching The Profit and you want to know a little bit about marketing and turning, I think it's a really good show. It's on CNBC, I think, or MS. Anyways, it's one of those, The Profit, Marcus.
I'll watch it on Hulu.
Oh, yeah, on Hulu. Yeah, on Hulu. Look at you. You're such a millennial. I like it. Anyways, it was so funny because he took this product that they were selling and he did this mini – you know, landing page consult about how like you should do this and it's leading. And it was a really good pitch for ClickFunnels. You know what I mean? It was awesome.
So ClickFunnels is exploding. The CEO looks like he's about 12, but he's so crazy smart. I can't think of his name right now.
Sean, I don't know. He had some YouTube video that went crazy, right? That's one of the things like.
He's got a few things like that.
Yeah.
But I would love to see a church really, I'd love to see a church use ClickFunnels specifically and figure out a funnel of how to kind of then move people through a funnel and use it for ministry kind of
stuff. I was really thinking, so one of the ideas that was drawing around my head that I have not executed obviously yet, but it's, I was thinking about, I always struggle that I have with my online community at Saddleback, I have online groups and I have small groups. And ultimately I want those groups to grow and express the five purposes that in our context, in our ministry. But I want to coach them. So I have people who sign up from a URL to host a group online or in a home or join a group. Yeah. And I was thinking like, man, as I was watching, I was like, what if I created a workflow through ClickFunnels that I was like, hey, thanks so much for being interested in a group. And I would say something like, hey, do you want to join a group, host an online group, blah, blah, blah. And I have like, and I create, and almost create like an on-demand click funnel that would like funnel them down. It would have training. I was like, man. So anyways, I might share that more. That's like an idea that I really got to like, I got to write that out and figure out how that works. But anyways, that's one thing that was floating around in my head. So just to throw that out.
I love it. I love it. So I was in a meeting today, Jay, and we were talking about basically kind of conversion. And I was thinking through online church of somebody accepted Christ, we always with onlinechurch.com would just send them our templated, here's our immediate email for this. But in this conversion process, that, you know, Trent Dunham, who's my boss now, was saying, you often need to send people 3 to 4 emails about what those next steps are, because they'll maybe hear it once. Some people need to hear it 3 times, or they need to read it. And then the next one maybe is a video just to make sure to reaffirm what they're hearing, or a testimony that this is the best next step for them. And I think, man, I missed a lot of opportunities by just saying, well, here's just the one response for everyone. But a really well thought out funnel helps many different people that are really processing things in different ways best hear that information to lead them down the path that you want to take them down. That doesn't mean everyone's going to get on that path, but just one standard single email is often miss so many people. And so having a better more thought out process, and that's what ClickFunnels, it's so overwhelming when you first jump into it. Yeah. But it's also like templated in a way that really is so well intentionally thought out to help you guide people down that, whatever that path is that you want to take them down.
Yeah. So check out ClickFunnels. MailChimp automation is another one. There's a couple other ones out there, but definitely it's worth a while. So let's talk about Twitter. So Twitter, Twitter, everyone's freaking out all the time. Even this recent week, so they released this new thing where they're doing this live streaming of certain content, and they kind of debuted largely on the NFL, the Thursday night game, Jets and the Bills, and so crazy. And even in this, we're going to talk about it. Even that, they were saying like this is a Hail Mary, which was obviously clever writing. In the moment of like them trying to do it to try to survive. But I found this so crazy. So on your phone, you go to moments, and atop of the moments, you have the game, and there's a little like kind of pinkish. It says with black text, it says live now. You click on it, you go into it, and the top part of the screen in a little window is the game live. And then down below is all the tweets happening. Yep. And so I'm just watching the game, and I'm watching this game. I actually had the game on. I have DirecTV, so I had the game on my TV. So I was like, oh, what the heck? And I was like, I could just watch the game on my phone right here with all the tweets. Yeah. And then I had this thought. I saw on my Apple TV app store that they just released a Twitter app. And so I was like, I wonder if I can watch the game through my Apple TV. Yeah. So I went over to Apple TV. I saw the app, downloaded it. And like that, I see it and I can click in it. It's live. And then they have two options. You can watch it full screen, or you could watch it kind of like a picture in picture. And then you see the tweets on your TV. And it's crazy. They paid $10 million for 10 games exclusively. And they beat out Facebook and a couple other people. And this is their gear to try to get into this live market, because obviously Twitter is so great at real-time conversation. What's the angle here, Niels? Like, what's the angle here?
So I think the angle is kind of social viewing experience. You know, I think we've been heading down this path for the last, you know, almost 10 years with Church Online, is you're simultaneously watching an experience, but you want to do it socially with others. And I think we're doing it naturally with basically from a second screen experience. So we'll watch on TV and then we'll be tweeting about it using hashtags or things like that. But by pulling it into one simultaneous experience, it's a more natural process and a more customizable process. And so I think it's a step towards, you know, that's those social experiences. But just doing it in a more optimal way for the end user. And so instead of us kind of figuring it out and doing it ourselves, and at the end of the day, that's the geekier people that are doing that, because we know how to do hashtags and to do some of that. But when you just put it in the app and somebody can just click there, and then it's so easy, you know, and you see that with Facebook Live now, where it's kind of that simultaneously people are watching and the comments show up at the same time. It's different than what Twitter's doing. I think a couple of things will be interesting. I love that they're using the TV app and that technology, and that you can customize your TV viewing experience. I think that's very cool. I'll be interested to see how they maybe sync up the two of how your mobile and your TV app simultaneously, like how it can maybe even hear the broadcast coming on your TV and then just automatically adjust your app to function together. I'm curious if your friends' tweets will be prioritized. I would assume they're maybe already that way. Or if you're even on your TV, can you log in your Twitter? Just some things that I'm really interested to see. How does this play out? And then I think the other side of it is, we saw recently that Periscope, you know, Twitter acquired Periscope, and then that was Twitter's app for the most part by the time it went public. And then Facebook came in with Facebook Live and just about crushed Periscope. And so part of me is like, oh, that's cool that Twitter's doing that, but it'd be really cool when Facebook does it. And if Facebook was already in competition for these others, you know, what other ones will Facebook get? So that's kind of what I'm curious about from a competitive standpoint. I'm curious, Jay, so you actually viewed it. I'm curious what your thoughts were as a viewer and then where you see this is going.
Well, it was definitely, I mean, first off, the NFL has always struggled with Thursday night. So obviously it's strategic on their end to try to get more eyeballs because Monday night's not, So like at the end of the Thursday night has kind of been a dead game for the most part.
$1 billion with Twitter and get some
attention. I know. It's just crazy. So, I mean, it's totally strategic as a company for NFL and to say like, hey, why don't you test with this, you know, and probably they could have gotten more money if it was a Sunday night or something, but they're really being strategic around like, maybe we can learn something that can feed in. I really hope that, you know, I think selfishly you're having this, you know, you had like the public airwaves kind of thing with, you know, now you can get stuff on antenna. I really hope that there is a lot of changeover in that there are certain channels that are just live all the time online. I hope that starts becoming norm and like essentially a company, you know, you could just provide that out and people could stream it. Cause I do think the Twitter experience last night, there's a lot of apps like Sling TV and a couple other ones that are like, they do it well, but I'm like, there was something about seeing everybody tweet. And it's the same thing. Like it was like, that was the beauty of the Olympics. That, you know, you're sitting there and I'm watching something during the day or something. And I'm like, is anybody watching this? And I jump on and I see people tweeting about random stuff that I like, oh, that's cool. Other people are watching. There's something about that community experience. And I do think Twitter is strategically like, that's what they're great at. And that's why like people like freak out about different things. And I'm like, they have a community experience that is just very unique. Now it might not be growing. It might becoming more of a niche, still huge, but you know, to me, I'm like, they could be somebody that could do it really well. I do find like the Facebook Live is really, it's powerful. And maybe because we're just kind of, there's kind of oversaturation. I just don't feel the same about Facebook Live at the moment, the way that I would think that the same potential of Twitter is, but that's just because the way I think the medium is that Facebook tends to be a little bit more, it tends to be for me more family, and Twitter tends to be more network. And I think that maybe even that lends its way. But I ultimately, there's so many things that, you know, I saw our friends at StreamMonkey. They just, so StreamMonkey, streaming company, we love them. We do some work with them with tvapp.church. So if you're looking at streaming, probably go to them. They're awesome. But they just started integrating their streaming services with Facebook Live.
Yep.
So you can go through them, and they also do 360 video now too, live streaming support.
So exciting.
Yeah, it's so exciting. So it's an interesting space. I think, you know, that's why, I mean, Twitter at the end of the day, they had to outbid Facebook, and they had to outbid, was it Yahoo at the time or somebody else? And so like it, obviously everybody's trying, there's all these deals for exclusive live content. So I think it's super intriguing. I'm super interested in it. I think you, anybody who has an Apple TV right now, go out and download it. There's something about the experience that I think that they nailed really well. So, I mean, somebody else will probably rip it off and do it better, but you know, that's the game.
So there are three things that I think of when it comes to Twitter, and that's news. You know, when I'm looking for news, I go to Twitter. You know, I remember in New York, I heard an explosion one time from my house, and I'm like, what's happening right now? Or I heard some fireworks, and I was able to then search, you know, Twitter to see what's happening. You know, what was that noise? What are those fireworks in Brooklyn? And so news and search were kind of those big deals for me. Yeah. And the other is hashtags. So when I go to an event, or something else is going on, it just, you know, Instagram, it works, but that's just with pictures. You know, if you're really kind of just wanting to kind of be a part of a conversation around something, the hashtag functionality of Twitter, there's nothing like it. You know, so Facebook has tried to, you know, imitate it a little bit. It's worked well on Instagram, but it's different. You know, it's almost more for like wedding pictures, things like that. And so Instagram is more of a conversation. And so I think, or Twitter is more of a conversation than Instagram. And so I think there's a unique fit for Twitter. I definitely don't think Twitter is going away. Yeah. I think it's lost some popularity. Yeah. I don't think it's lost its relevance. I think it's finding its niche, maybe more than just like Pinterest. You know, Pinterest definitely isn't going away. It just has really zoned into its niche. And so I think this live video sports and Twitter really, honestly, is my personal favorite. And so, and I love sports. And so I really hope that Twitter can almost become that social network for sports.
It sucks that a company like Twitter, like there's all this, I mean, they release Moments, where I think they killed it with Moments. Moments is amazing. I mean, it's so well done. And then they have this live streaming thing. I mean, Periscope was a little bit of just kind of a bubble almost. And so, yeah, I mean, those are good. So, okay. So we talked a lot of different stuff. Check out live streaming with Twitter. Check it out on the Apple TV. Be aware of it. I think that's the challenge with everything we're talking about here. Your church should be thinking about it. I think if, are you poised to experiment with live on Twitter if they open something up, you know? And I think if you haven't checked out Periscope, be aware of that format. I think regardless, you don't need to be doing it regularly, but I think it's important to see, because even the way Periscope did things, Facebook copied some of those things. And so there's definitely, you're going to see similarities. So live video is obviously not going away. The key is going to be, where do you consume that live video? Will it be on it won't be on a cable box moving forward. It's going to be on all these devices. Right. So thank you so much for listening. To learn more about us, go to socialmedia.church and use the hashtag SMC podcast to recommend future shows. Thanks again.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. To learn more about the host, the show, or suggest a future topic, check out socialmedia.church. If you liked what you heard, then take a couple minutes to leave a review on iTunes. Every review helps. Lastly, share the podcast with a friend and use the hashtag SMC Podcast to engage with the host. Thanks again for listening.